morning. This is a really special day for our church family. Thank you for the music. And we have so many cool things happening these days. First of all, yesterday, Dr. Julie Weatherall graduated with her degree in veterinary medicine, and we are really proud of her accomplishments. I mean, this is no easy course to take, and she did it. And I wish she was here, but would you take our greetings to her, please? I would appreciate that. Also, one other thing that I'm really happy to tell you about is that there is going to be a wedding in our family this summer. Maybe you haven't heard that, but there will be. There is a certain young lady in our family who has finally found her knight in shining armor, and the two have fallen head over heels in love, and just a few weeks ago, they announced their engagement. So, on July the 25th, there's going to be a wedding, and Linda and I have got tons of work to do between now and then. So, if we have those stress lines in our eyes, you know what happened to us. Would you like to see a picture of the happy couple?
Yes.
You would? Okay. Linda, can you put that on, please? Well, you're spoiling my punchline. There's the happy couple. It's my mother-in-law who's getting married. Yeah, she's been widowed for about 10 and a half years. Now she's 82 years old, and she has been looking for a long time. And finally, she met up with Lynn Wheeler, who for many years taught shop at Rio Lindo Academy. Lynn Wheeler, Lynn Johnson. I'm sorry, I didn't get to sleep till 1 o'clock this morning, so I'm talking in my sleep. But anyway, I think it's a great deal, and we're pretty excited about that. There are few people in this world who can strike up controversy quite like the material girl from Detroit. Madonna Louise Veronica Saccone entered our lives back in the early 1980s, and the world of pop culture has never been the same since. Her music, her videos, her concerts, her show appearances have created a very in-your-face kind of persona. And her formula for success is very, very simple. The more controversy that she can stir up, the more money she makes. She thrives on pushing people's hot buttons. Several years ago, the Pepsi company hired her to do a series of commercials. Three commercials, and she got paid a cool $5 million. Well, they aired the first of the ads, and just a couple days later, she released a music video of her own in which she salaciously danced in front of a burning cross. Religious leaders across America were outraged by this display and demanded that PepsiCo drop her as their spokesperson. Well, they let her go, but she got to keep the $5 million. Then there was her video, Justify My Love. It was so hot, they couldn't even show it on MTV. And it landed her a spot on Nightline for millions of dollars of free publicity. When she appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman, she sat there in her chair puffing on a cigar, and she was bleeped 13 times during her brief interview, more times per minute than any network show up to that time. And for two full days, the media bashed her for being sick, sordid, depraved, out of control, offensive, outrageous, and downright stupid. Then there was a time when she appeared on the cover of Forbes magazine with the caption, America's Smartest Businesswoman. They went on to describe her as a savvy promoter with a half dozen companies and several hundred employees who managed to rake in $125 million in their first 5 years. Time magazine has called her a high school graduate with a doctorate in street smarts. I think most critics will agree that Madonna is a pretty good singer, a pretty good dancer, and a pretty good actress. But what she really excels in most is in the packaging of her image, her ability to market herself and manipulate the media. So, if you were to capture Madonna in a single word, what word would you choose? I suppose there are a number of words that we could select, words that could be lifted from her self-disclosures, words that could be taken from her title cuts, Perhaps you could capture Madonna in the word materialism, or manipulation, or sex, or ambition. Any of those words would do the job quite fine. But today I have chosen a word that you might find a little surprising. It is the word seeker. Because under all the scandal and all the shock, Madonna is desperately seeking for something that will bring meaning and purpose to her life. In her own way, she is looking for God. So what would Jesus have to say to someone like Madonna? And far more important, what does Jesus have to say to people like you and me today who are desperately seeking for something? I think that's an important question to ask because a lot of us today would probably like to bash people like Madonna. But the fact of the matter is that's not the kind of thing that Jesus does, because Jesus is in the business of loving people and saving people. And there's another admission we would do well to make here, and that is that there's a little bit of Madonna deep down inside of all of us, isn't there? I mean, if I were to drop a screen and show a rock video of your life where the whole world could see your every secret fantasy, your every thought, your every action, we would be embarrassed but would have to admit that there's a little bit of Madonna in all of us. The difference is we keep it all locked up here, don't we? Well, she plays it out on a stage and gets paid millions of dollars to do it. Deep down inside, Madonna is desperately looking for something. She's looking for answers to her questions. She's looking for acceptance. She's looking for fulfillment and happiness. And maybe right now that's what you're looking for in your life as well. Just maybe you are a seeker that is desperately looking for something. So what does Jesus have to say to people like Madonna? And what does Jesus have to say to people like you and me who are seekers today? The first thing I think Jesus would say is this: I am grieved. Now, you would expect Jesus to say that. After all, the whole sordid mess is enough to make you queasy around the middle. The amazing thing here is that Jesus looks past all the surface things to see the heart. And that is why I can imagine Jesus would say to Madonna, I am grieved. I am so sorry that your childhood experiences with religion left you with such a distorted picture of me. One day, someone asked Madonna about her picture of God, and she said, I think the church pretty much stays with you. So whatever was drilled into you when you were growing up, whatever your picture of God was, I think you die with that image in your head. You see, Madonna grew up with this picture of God in her mind that is not at all like the God of the Bible. She sees God as someone who demeans women, someone who will not tolerate questions, someone who dishes out capricious and arbitrary rules, someone who enjoys heaping guilt on people, someone who has the ability to squelch the joy right out of life. Sometimes in your conversations with people, you'll run into an individual who will say to you, well, I just don't believe in God. And as a Christian, you might say to them, well, tell me about this God that you don't believe in. And they'll go on to describe this distorted picture of God, and you just can't help but shrug your shoulders and say, well, I don't believe in that kind of God either. Deep down inside, all of us have a picture of God. And just maybe because of that, you've gotten away from God. You've gotten away from church over the years. Or perhaps you're still in the church, but you have these badly underdeveloped pictures of God in your own mind. And so today I'm asking you to take those pictures and get a good solid look at them. Check them out and find out if they are really crisp and clear. God has a photo album full of pictures. And in those pictures, we can see what God is like. The first thing that I can see is that God cares. In Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, we read, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. This is a wonderful picture of God because it reminds us that God really does care. He's not capricious. He's not eager to heap guilt upon us. He loves us and he wants what is best for us. Once more, God is not some kind of misogynic. One day, Jesus was talking to a woman who had more notches on her bedpost than we would ever care to know about. And what's more, this woman belonged to another ethnic group. So how did Jesus treat the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? Did he skirt the issues? No, he hit them head on. But never for a moment did he condemn her as a woman. Never for a moment did he condemn her as an individual. You see, Jesus is the perfect gentleman, and he knows how to treat a woman. Something else here. God knows how to handle our questions. That is something that Madonna has not yet discovered, because when she was only 5 years old, her mother died of breast cancer, and there was no one there to answer her questions. In her Truth or Dare documentary, there's a scene where Madonna visits her mother's grave, and she says, "My mother's death was just a big mystery to me when I was a child, and no one really explained it. She was so religious, so I never understood why she was taken away from us." When Jesus was here on this earth, he was constantly peppered with questions. And let me tell you, one of the signs of a healthy church is its ability to take in and accept people with their questions and point them to Jesus, who is the ultimate answer. I think there ought to be a sign above every church door that says, "Questions answered." Because this is a place particularly where teenagers and young adults ought to find a safe place to ask the deepest and most profound questions and know that they will be loved and supported as they process these issues. This is so important because getting honest answers is essential to developing a good, crisp picture of God. One more thing here, and that is that the God of the Bible is a thinking person's God. He does not demand blind, unthinking faith. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together." And in Mark 12:30, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Obviously, Christianity is not a religion where you have to check your brains at the door. Christianity is a thinking person's religion. So right now, what I'd like you to do is think about your spiritual journey up to this point and ask yourself the question, is it possible that the real God and the God that you have pictured in your mind all these years aren't even the same person? Is it possible that you have needlessly written him off because of all those negative pictures that you have developed in your own mind? I want to encourage you to take a brand new look at God, to study the stories of people who personally knew Jesus and interacted with him. They're found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I honestly believe that if you'll take all that baggage from the past and put it behind you, that if you'll take a good look at God, you will develop a picture of him in your heart that you will find absolutely irresistible. The second thing I think Jesus would say to Madonna is, "I understand." And I think that would get her attention, because all her life she has figured the only thing God wants to do is slap her down. I think Jesus would say to her, "I understand how empty a life can be when you're going all on your own. And I understand how the seeker's quest can take a person down some really scary paths." I think Jesus would look beyond Madonna's headline-grabbing behavior to see what is driving the lady. So what is it that is driving Miss Madonna? To use a technical psychiatric term, one news magazine puts it, Madonna is a complicated nut. In an interview, Madonna once said, "I have an iron will, and all of my will has been devoted to conquering some horrible feeling of inadequacy. I'm always struggling with fear. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being, and then I get into another stage, and I think I'm mediocre and uninteresting. And I find a way to get myself out of that again and again. My drive in life is from the horrible fear of being inadequate and mediocre. It's always pushing me and pushing me, because even though I have become somebody, I still have to prove I'm somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will." Then there was a time where she was getting ready for a concert in her hometown of Detroit. She took her entire cast and drew them into a hand-holding circle of prayer. And this is what she said, Lord, this is my hometown, so I'm extra nervous. And even though it's not supposed to matter, it does matter what they think. And so I ask you to give that little extra something special to show everyone that I did make something out of my life. Amen. You see, there is a reason why Madonna thinks she has to reinvent herself every few years. There's a reason why she continually has to come up with a newer, bolder, more daring version of herself to sell to the masses. There's a reason why she has to do something more outrageous every single year in order to maintain the admiration of her fans. She's looking for approval. She's looking for a deep, abiding sense of worth. Psychologists tell us that our sense of self-worth is shaped by what we think the most important person in our life thinks of us. And for Madonna, that is her fans, because they are the ones who admire her and determine her worth. But when her popularity begins to fade, as it someday will, she's going to be in for a huge letdown. I think all of us struggle with insecurities at one level or another. So what does Jesus have to say to us when we are feeling kind of small, when we're struggling with self-doubts? I think that he will say, when you learn to look to me as the most significant person in your life, then all those questions of self-worth will be settled once and for all. Instead of trying to measure your worth by what you think other people think of you. Instead of trying to measure your worth by your position in the church or in the workplace or in the community. Instead of trying to evaluate your worth by what's in your portfolio, you will learn to look to me instead and see that your worth is determined by the span of my arms reaching out to you from Calvary's cross to draw you in. Never again will you have to look somewhere else to determine your significance, because as far as I'm concerned, Jesus says, you already are a somebody. I love you so much that I created you. I love you so much that I died on Calvary's cross. You matter, and I understand. The third thing I think Jesus would say to Madonna is this: I will help. I will help you experience the fulfillment that has eluded you all of these years. I will heal the inner compulsion that is driving you to try to validate yourself through self-destructive means. But I can only do that if you will let me. There's a biblical metaphor for this. What we're talking about is adoption. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us that God sent his son Jesus into this world so that we could be adopted into his family. And that's good news for people like Madonna, because all her life she has struggled with the loss of her mother. And for the last several years, she struggled through issues of trying to adopt more and more children into her family. In fact, just yesterday in the news, it was announced she's been approved to adopt another child from Malawi. Madonna is a poor motherless child looking for someone to adopt her, someone who will love her no matter what. She's looking for family. She's looking for a place to take her heart home to. Do you ever read the personals in the paper? Sometimes the things people will put in the newspaper are enough to just tear your heart out, especially when a childless couple will put an ad in the paper that reads like this. Imagine a childless couple providing your baby with an overflowing love, a wonderland of friends and family, the end of the rainbow and the best he or she could be. We're a warm-hearted, caring couple, ready to share our lives, our hearts, and our home. Your baby will have a lifetime of security, stability, and happiness with a devoted mom and an adoring dad. And then I think of our Father in heaven, who is desperately seeking for children that he can add to his family. What kind of ad might he put in the paper? Perhaps it could read like this: I'll take the person who feels inadequate and mediocre. I'll take the notorious and unworthy. I'll take the person whose misguided quest for fulfillment has gotten him or her mired in immorality. I'll take the person who's struggling with unanswered questions. I'll take the person who's on the treadmill of trying to prove they're somebody. And I'll provide a depth of love they'll never find in empty sexuality. I'll provide the kind of fulfillment that materialism will never buy. I'll offer satisfaction that will endure even when the accolades stop. I'll provide the security of a relationship that will continue into eternity. And I will give you a family who will love you for who you are, no questions asked. Let me tell you, those are the arms that Madonna is desperately seeking. And who wouldn't want to be adopted by such a loving father? There's a phone number at the end of the ad. Did you see it there? It's John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Lift the verbs from this verse and you have everything that you need to become a member of God's family. Believe plus receive equals become. To believe means to have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith to believe that he will save you from the futility of life all on your own. To receive means to accept that gift of salvation. It means coming into a relationship with him whereby you become a member of God's family. You become one of his children. Right now, God is calling us home. So I invite you to sit back and listen as Daniel sings to us that familiar old song, softly and tenderly. Come home. Come home, you who are weary, come home.